Okay, today's shiur is Metzia Daf Kuf Yud Dalet, and today's shiur has two sponsors. The first sponsor is over the next 3 days, Le'ili Nishbas Chana Bas Eliyahu Olav HaShalom, whose 25th yard site was on Shabbos, on Tez Zayin Teve, sponsored by her son, Mr. Charles Mizels. We thank the Mizels family for the sponsorship over the next couple of days. And also, today's shiur is also in memory of Miss Beatrice Cook, Batya Bas Nachum Ber, a mother who embodied the mid of Gvura. Following the passing of her husband, she raised her two young sons to be Bnei Torah, helped formulate the lives of success and support for Torah and Klal Yisrael. Her grandchildren, great-grandchildren are following in the Derech HaTorah, dedicated by Dr. Arthur and Linda Cook and family. We thank the Cook family for their sponsorship of today's daf as well. Okay, so now let's get into Bamitzia Kuf Yud Dalet, as we are on the last line on Kuf Yud Gimel Amabez, as we continue the march. Three more days to left to the ninth parak, then we get to the tenth parak. As we know, each of the Babas have 10 prakim. In the olden days, it was one Mesechta, Mesechas Nezikin. Today, we have it all split up, and we are almost finished. A couple more days left to the second of the three parts of the trilogy of the Babas. Okay, just one ha'ara on yesterday's daf. We mentioned that there were, Abaya said that Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon, Rav Yishmael, Rav Akiva all held to the same principle that Klal Yisrael are all very special. They are all B'nai Malachim. They all should be looked at as royalty. So I just mention quickly that the issue of Shechikas Samamanim, just to mention, just expand on that a moment. Right? We know that the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Nun Gimel tells us that there is a Gzeira D'Rabbanan of taking medicine on Shabbos for certain types of cholim. Right? We're not going to have a whole shiur about that right now, but we know there are different categories of cholim on Shabbos. A chola sheyesh bo sakana, a chola whose life is in danger, obviously nothing to talk about. They could do anything they want. They could even do a malacha d'araisa on Shabbos by a Jew. One level down, a chola sheein bo sakana, a chola whose life is not in danger and is not won't get in danger if nothing is done right now. Right? That's a chola sheein bo sakana. One level down. So that type of chole, a Jew cannot do a daraisa, but a guy could do a daraisa. A guy could do a daraisa, and the issur of taking medicine on Shabbos does not apply to that type of chole. A chole shein basakana is allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. Only a chole less than that category, that's where Chazal targeted the gzeira of shchika samamanim, because gzeira shema yishchok, one might come to grind the medicines as they were done in those days, and even if the reason might not apply anymore, in most cases, the gzeira still applies, chai v'kayim, and as the Vilna Gaon says, there are many reasons for every gzeira d'rabbanan, and even if one reason doesn't apply, the other reasons might apply, and even if all the reasons don't apply, in our view, still, we don't have the authority to undermine and undo a gzeira that was made by Chazal. But either way, there were many, four or five limitations built into the gzeira from within. It wasn't even a limitation. We might call it the gzeira was never construed and constructed to apply in that case. So one of them, as was mentioned in this year yesterday, the Gemara brought up about Shemen Vered. Rabbi Shimon says, "Call Yisrael b'nei Malachim heim." What was that issue? So the Mishnah had said in Masechta Shabbos that anything that is used by healthy people, so that's not called medicine. Right, this shemen vera, this oil that was smeared on to people's skin, even if there was no wound, so therefore you're allowed to put it on a wound on Shabbos, because anything that's used for what's called ma'achal briyim, anything that is used for on a healthy person, then by definition that's not called medicine, and therefore it is not a problem on Shabbos. Rav Moshe Feinstein uses the svara when it comes to vitamins. Rav Moshe assumes that there is no issue of vitamins in Arachayim, Chela Gimel, Simen Nun Dalet, Hinei B'dvar HaVitaminim, Shahar Be'anashim Briyim, Shein Lam Shum Echesh V'choli. Right, many healthy people take vitamins. So, haraya, that it's not medicine. Right, it's food. That's one svara why vitamins might be okay. Number two might be that vitamins don't really do anything anyway. And number three is another tzad lahakel. Ramosha also mentions that is there is no isser of shchika samavanim of taking medicine if it is preventative. If it's preventative, if it's not healing a sickness that is, but it's just preventing illness, vitamins, if whatever they do, they're not healing, right? It's not that they're only taken by sick people, but they help create a strengthened body. And therefore, rofim miyatzim livloa usam b'chol yom mishum she'machazkim haguf. right? They strengthen the body, and therefore that's also another reason why it wouldn't be a problem. Vitaminim elu she'enem mavriyim es ha'adam l'shanoso mikafishahu she'yihye misha chalash b'tibol l'chazik yoser elu she'osin shalo yeh alul hitchalot b'nakel yishlahati l'kul yama, and he continues. But again, one of the svaris is mutter, is preventative. One of the svaris is machal b'riyim. Rav Moshe says, how many people are sick today, and how many people take vitamins today? A lot more people take vitamins than are sick, and therefore it wouldn't be a problem. And there are other svaris, other limitations given as well. The Tzitz Eliezer, among others, writes in one of his shuvas in Chelek Yudalid, if somebody is on a 10-day course of antibiotics, the Tzitz Eliezer says that's mutter if one of the days is Shabbos, because that's not called taking medicine on Shabbos. That's called taking medicine for 10 days. Included in that is Shabbos, but that, again, was never included in the Gzeira originally assumes that Tzitz Eliezer, because that the reason might not apply. Lamaisa yishla daiti. It's he's a hair milahafris b'chumris bazeh. Don't go overboard with this. Where the Gzeira applies, the Gzeira applies, and where it doesn't apply, then it doesn't apply. Okay, that's just that's a lot there. But anything that is for preventative purposes, so then that would be okay. And if anything is included in that, the doctor says to take this to prevent blood clotting, you know, that would also be mutter. Obviously, if somebody has that issue, it might be a cholish ein bo sakana potentially anyway, where the gzeira wouldn't apply in any case. Okay, so we are on the last line now. Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Says the Gemara Maskev La Rav Chaga. So what did we just say? We quoted the whole brisa relating to the ability of a malveh to take a mashkon and the limitations of that power. He can't go into the house and he can't take it by force, and he can't take things that the loveh needs, right? Whatever he needs by day, he has to return by day and night by night. But the Brisa said that he only has to return in order to take care of the loveh, but he does not have to return items that are needed by the wife and the children, right? That he doesn't have to return. So says the, and then there were some other limitations about the machresha, and he could take certain items and just return the more limited item. Somebody's wearing a very fancy coat that's worth $10,000, and he's owed $1,000, so he could right take the coat and give back a lesser coat. Right, that was mafshitin osa mimenu, to be able to pay back the Baal Chov. So now the last line, Maskev L'Rav Chaga V'Lei Malei, why can't the Malva say, Lav Alai Karamis? Right, or Rashi adds in one word, Lav Alai Didi Ramis. Right, why do I have the Achrayis to take care of the Loveh, and, you know, I have to leave him a certain amount of time, he owes me money, I'll take whatever I'm supposed to get, and Bezdin will take care of whatever he needs. Yeah, Lav Alai Karamis, right, why is it on me? Is it on me? Tosas mentions that lav Tosas niras al neimalei lava matitza parach. This is not a general question on the Mishnah why he has to give back the pillow, because then why did the Gemara wait all the way until now to ask the question? The ode, and then Tosas asks the question, which Beth Hashem will come up a lot on tomorrow's daf. Tomorrow's daf is one of the dafim in Shas, the daf in Shas, about darshaning reasons for mitzvahs. Beth Hashem, that's tomorrow's daf. But Tosas says the ode de matzorach tamal mitzvahs hamakom. What are you asking reasons for? The Torah says yes. The Torah says do it. So you do it. You have to do it. Why can't he taina? Why can't he taina? That's what the Torah says. If based on a drushas chazal. And so Tosfos says, and a couple of lines later, this is not asking on the general din of returning the kar and the keses. Elanira Tosfos says da'a Rabbi Akiva v'Rabbi Yishmael para. It's specifically asking on those tanoim that bump up klal Yisrael, kol Yisrael b'nei malachim heim, and v'kulan ruin los itzlav. He's wearing a fancy coat. You can let him have the coat. That's what the Gemara is asking. Kivan de'eno lofsha ela lekavedu lenoi ba'alma. Since the person's only wearing it to look fancy, lama yeshlan alomar shekolze hito alakazav ala malve. That's what we're asking. Why does the malve have to make sure that the love has all of these fancy items and the malve leaves it in that case? Again, by the mitzvah of tztaka, Tosfos doesn't quote it, but by the mitzvah of tztaka, we know from the Gemara Ksubis tells us that if a person's used to a certain level of living, so then I might have to, you know, get them back to a place where they're comfortable. As Hillel used to run in front of the person, the ani, as the Gemara describes, with a whole who's used to a horse and used to this and used to that. So, but here we're not talking about that. We're not talking about tztaka specifically. I lent the person money and I have a right to get my money back. How much do I have to leave him? So that's the Gemara's question according to Tosfos. What can the Malva say? That, you know, I'll give him a more basic remainder and not have to worry about the higher. So the Gemara answers, Amar le'Abaya, Ivra, no, it's true. Rashi says, Bemes, Ale Karami. That's part of the Pasuk. Right? It's, this is Staka, you might say. Right? Lachati et Staka, as the Pasuk says. Mishim Shadem, Lachati et Staka. Right? Part of the allowance of taking a mashkon is to also observe a behavior of tzaka in that regard, and therefore you the malva have the responsibility to leave him in a certain state. Remember, this pasuk was quoted earlier back in the main sugya of mashkon, back on daf pei beis, where we discussed bal chov kone mashkon, and the machlokas we showed him what exactly does that mean. Rashi in Bamitzia. Right, Tosfos all over Shas quotes the Rashi here that we had back on Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph, where Rashi quotes, "What is the din of Rabbi Yitzchak mean of Balchov Kone Mashkon? Lachomi li lischayev baonsin." Rashi says, "Even chiyev onsin, like the level of Shoel, that's what the Mashkon, that's what the Rabbi Yitzchak means by Balchov Kone Mashkon, based on the pasuk of Olochati Estaka." That's quoted right here. The other Rishonim, Tosfos and Kedushin Daf Ches, and others said, "No, it doesn't mean that. Maybe the level of Grev Aveda doesn't mean full." Chiyuv onsin, as Rashi said, but that's all based on this pasuk that the Gemara quoted here. That in order for it to be tztaka, it means that you have something that you are now giving to someone else, and the ownership is changing. If it's just somebody else's item, then you know it wouldn't be called tztaka. Okay, Ibai Lahu says the Gemara, and today's daf is going to give us an insight into some basic ideas, as we'll see. Some well known material coming up today about Eliyahu Hanavi. And the like. So first we have to get through Amud Aleph. Ibai Luhu. Maoshi Sadru Bavalchov. Right? We had yesterday a Machlokas Tanaim in the Brisa, whether we set up a payment plan for a Balchov. What does that mean, a payment plan? It means that we take a certain amount, but we leave him what he needs. Right? We don't leave him bankrupt. Right? So do we set up a payment plan that we take what he need, what take base some basic payment, but we leave him k'tei chayef. So do we do that for a bal chov? Mi gomar, micha, micha, me arachin, olo. Right? Do we learn a gzeir shava from arachin or not? Meaning by arachin, if somebody says, I want to give an erech of so-and-so, as the Torah defines based on gender and age, how much the erech of each person is worth, different than damim. We'll get to the Beis Hashem in a couple of minutes. We know there are two ways to give values of a person to the Beis HaMikdash, as is described in Maseches Arachin, based on Psukim at the end of Vayikra. Arachin or damim? Arachin is fixed, based on gender and age, as we said. Damim is the value that a person can be sold as a servant in the market. So, by arachin, the special din, daraisa, the Torah tells us that there are limitations, that we leave a person a certain amount of whatever he needs if he can't pay the erech at that time. So, mi gamar, micha, micha, me arachin alo. So, do we have that type of payment plan by ba'alei chov or not? Ask the Ran, well, didn't we just have a machlokas about this in the Braisa? On Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and yesterday's daf, there was a machlokas tanam about it. So the Ran says, yeah, that's what the Gemara is asking. Who do we paskin like? Right? And it quotes three or four other places in Shas where the Gemara is really asking who we paskin like, even though it doesn't say who we paskin like. It asks it in a different way. But the Ran says here in the Chiddushi Aran, that's what the Gemara is really asking. Who do we paskin like? So the Gemara says, Tashma, the Shalach Ravin B'Igrise. Ravin sent in a letter, Davar, Zesh Sha'alti L'chol Rabosai, V'lo Amrili Davar. I asked all my Rebbeim, and they didn't answer me. They didn't give me an answer to this question, whether we do Sidur Lebalchov. Baram Kachaisa Hasha'ela. But there was another question, and then implicitly in the answer to that question, they answered the first question. What was the other question? Kachaisa Sha'ela. Ha'omer Hare Alai Mana Lebedek Abayis Mao Shi Yisadru. If somebody promises to give something to the Beis HaMikdash, not Archin, just something. I want to give something to the Beis HaMikdash. Right, so mahu sheyisadru. So is there sidur there? So Rashi points out new halacha regarding arachin that we didn't mention. Look at Rashi. Aralei mana lebedek abayis vahasogas yad loksiv ela ba'arachin. What's a sogas yad? A special din of hesig yad. It's all safer on a sechas arachin called hesig yad, and it's a name of a perek. So hesig yad means that if I can't pay at the time that I make the promise, then I'm putter. I'm putter for more than, it's not that I owe the money. Hasig Yad Bezin figures out how much I can pay right now, and whatever I can't pay, I don't pay. Right? That's the p'tur of Hesig Yad. So Vasagas Yad Loksev Ela Ba'arachim. That p'tur is only listed by Arachim. Aval Sharek Deishos Eini Donim B'Hesig Yad. Right? By other context of hektish. So do we leave by other hektishos, is asking the Gemara, basic kedei chayav, like we do by Arachin? Forget hesek, yeah, that only applies by Arachin. But the special din of sidur, of the payment plan, do we leave kedei chayav by other tchumen of hektish or not? So Rabbi Yaakov mishpeit the Barpada, Rabbi Yirmiyah mishpeit the Ilfa Amri, Kal v'chomer mi Baal Chov. Maybe it's a Kal v'chomer from Baal Chov. What's the Kal v'chomer? Uma Baal Chov shem machzirin by a Baal Chov, where when you take a mashkon, right, he has to give it back. Machzirin, ein misadrin, and yet by Baal Chov we're not misader. That already answers the first question. But, right, that's just a given. By a Baal Chov, you have to give it back. And, meaning, the lova has rights, and yet, ein misadrin, so hektish, ein machzirin, so hektish, where, when once hektish takes something, they're not giving it back, ein odinche, ein misadrin, so surely, the one who is machdish shouldn't have rights. If the lova doesn't have rights, even though, doesn't have rights for sidur, even though he gets the item back in the future, so surely, the one who is machdish, who does not get it back in the future, should not have the allowance of sidur, right? That is the first day that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yirmiyah say. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no, neder be'erkecha ksiv. The pasuk puts neder and erkecha in the same phrase to compare nedarim and arachin. Ma'arachin misadrin, af hektish misadrin. Just like arachin is misader, just like you have sidur by arachin, so do you have sidur by hektish. Interesting, what's the nekudas ha-machlokas between these two deis? If you look at Tosfos, and the Tosfos Rosh expands on this even a little more, again, Tosfos asked it as a question. Tosfos asked, there's no hektish lomechsa, so once we compare it in one regard, it's greater in the other regard. But the Gemara here seems to be saying one day holds of a kal v'chomer, one day holds of a hekish. What happens when a hekish goes up against a kalvachomer? Does a kalvachomer have the power to undermine a hekish? We know that Gzeira Shava is, so to speak, the strongest of the Yudgimel Midos. Kalvachomer, one might say, in a sense, is the weakest, because it's based on logic, it's the only one that a person could darshan. Atana could darshan me'atzmam, right? So that's part of the issue here. Look at the middle of Tosis. V'tzarech lomar, desvara de kalvachomer mevatel hakesha. Not because a kalvachomer could wipe out a hekish, but you could apply the hekish elsewhere. So that's why a kalvachomer, in a certain context, might be able to override, so to speak, a hekish. While the Tosfos Rosh says, well, the other opinion says maybe not. No, a hekish is a hekish. A hekish is very strong. There's a Rashi elsewhere that says a hekish is like Yehu Kasuv Batorah. Right? It's very strong. It's like Mefurish Bikra. So maybe that's the root of the issue. A Shas topic when you have these two Yigil Midos going up against each other. But either way, we see the given in that conversation answers the first question that he never got an answer to from his Rebbeim, that we are not Misader for a Baal Chov. Right? And the only question is, are we Misader for other areas of Hektish? The Idach, what about the other opinion back to the Gemara? What would the other opinion do with this Hekish? The idach hahu lenidom bichvodu hudasa. Right, that's to teach me. I mean, the one that does not say that you apply sidur to other areas of hektish, they would say, well, you apply lenidom bichvodu hudasa. What does that mean? Ma arachin nidon bichvodo, av hektish nidon bichvodo. Just like arachin has the halach of nidon bichvodo, so do hekish. What does nidon bichvodo mean? Rashi explains that we know that there are different types of limbs that we have in our body. There's an aver shahaneshama tluyabo, an aver, a limb that we need to live, lungs and heart and liver and kidneys, v'chulu, and an aver shahaneshama tluyabo, a pinky, right, a toe. So what happens if somebody says, I want to give the erech of my toe to the Beis HaMikdash? I want to give the damim of my toe to the Beis HaMikdash. So both areas of halacha have the idea that if somebody, both by arachin and by damim, meaning other areas of hektish, if somebody says an erech shanashama tluya bo, that means the entire body. Somebody says, I want to give the erech of Reuven's heart to the Beis HaMikdash, they have to give the entire Reuven's value. And that applies by damim also. That is aver shanashama tuliyabo. But there's that's how they're compared in that regard. That's what it means nidom bechvodo. Even though there is a difference in halacha by a verse ein hashem atliyah bo. If somebody wants to give the erech of somebody's pinky, they're chayiv nothing, because that's not a, there's only erechin for people. They're not erechin for people's limbs. So if it's a limb, she'ein ever hashem atliyah bo, so that's considered the person's body. That's what it means, nida b'chvodo. But by damim, a person could give the value of a pinky, right? You see how much the person would be sold with the pinky and without the pinky, and whatever the difference is, that's the damim. But in terms of the ever hashem atliyah bo, so that they're compared, and that's what the Gemara here means. That's what the first opinion would use the Hekesh for. And that was Tosfos' question originally. So how can you say Hekesh Lamechsa? And then Tosfos answered, the Kal V'chomer has the power to be able to say the Hekesh only applies in A and not in B. But that was Tosfos' question. If they hold up the Hekesh, so why don't we go all the way? Good. Continues the Gemara. Once we're talking about, again, the parallel between Balchov and Arachin and other areas of Hekesh, V'yisadru b'Balchov, Kal V'chomer Arachin. So we've just said that it's a given that we don't have a payment plan by Baal Chov. If somebody owes me money, they have to pay back everything, and then Bez did, and the Gabbai Tzedakah has to worry about what's left. So you're not Misader. So the Gemara says, why not? Why don't you say you do Seder by a Baal Chov, Kal V'chomer from Arachin. Uma Arachin, She'ein Machzirin, Misadrin, Arachin, which we don't want somebody to give something to the Beis HaMikdash. They're not getting it back, and yet we're Misader, Misadrin, Baal Chov, She'machzirin, Ein Odin, She'misadrin. So a Baal Chov, where the Lova gets back the Mashkon, so you see the Lova has more rights, so surely we should say, have Seder there. So Gemara says, no, it's Xeris HaKasiv, that we don't. Amakra, v'imachu me'erkecha, hu v'lo balchovo. Machu, right, he has this benefit of having a sidur, misadrin le, person who wanted to give the erech, and not for a balchov. Period. Last section in this conversation, v'idach, who's the idach here? Unclear who the idach is, Baruch Hashem, we have Rashi as our Rebbe. Rashi says we're going back on the Tanakama of our Mishnah, who did not say anything explicitly about our issue, but it's implicit. Rashi, first wide line, V'idach, Tanakama de Masnisan, de Omar, Misajin Lebalchov. The Tanakama holds we are Misajin for Lebalchov. Mishnah didn't say that Beferish. How do you know that? Diktani. Because remember, the Mishnah says, Imeis Eino Machzer Liarshav. Tanakama said that if the Malva has the Mashkon and then the Lovet dies, does not have to give it back. Doesn't have to give it back. What does that mean? That if he didn't die, he would have to give it back and worry about his financial state. Hello, Machzer Laolam. But to himself, he would be Machzer. So if he idach the Tanakama of our Mishnah, who holds Misajin Lebalchov, back to the Gemara, what does he do with this pasuk? So, ahai, achi yehe, b'makuso mitchilas avad sofo. So he uses it to teach us that the by arachin has to be in his state of poverty from the beginning of the process, of from the day he was ma'arich until the time that Bezdin evaluates. That if he was ma'arich himself and as an ani, and then he was became an ashir in between, that he doesn't have the heter of hesegyad. Right, he has to give the Erech of an Ashir, the Heter of Hesek Yad, and the limitations to his payment only applies if he's Mach all straight through. Says the Gemara, sorry, one more section. V'yachziru behektish kavachomerim bivachov. So now, let's try the other way. Right, so why don't we say that by hektish, if Balchov couldn't learn Seder from hektish, so what about learning hektish from Balchov, that it should go back? What does that mean? Uma Balchov Shein Masadri Machzirin. Balchov with a Lova has very limited rights. We don't leave him with what he needs. We're not Masadir, and yet he gets his Mashkon back eventually. Hektish and Masadri in addition Machzirin. So Hektish, where the person who is Maktish does have rights, we leave him with a certain amount, as is described in Maseches Arachin. So surely, eventually, the item should go back to him. Yes, the Achronim, what does that mean? If somebody is marich something, they give something to the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to go back to them? They gave it to the Beis HaMikdash. What, there'll be a limited amount? Well, because he can't afford it, the Beis HaMikdash will have a month's use, and then they'll give back to him, or 2 months' use. So the Achronim are just bothered, like, how does that work? Right? Isn't there an Isra Mi'ila? Once something belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, it's done. Ask Rav Yashiv here in the Haris. What mechanism is working here? He says, Tamu Amod, the Shekizbar Lokach Mashkon, Vakona Mashkon, Ech Yachalachzir, Hariyalova, Asulish Namish Ba Mashkon, Kibim Me'ilakoi. So what is it with the Havamina? The Gemara is really taking it seriously. So he says, unless you have to say that the, just like the Baal Chov Kone Mashkon doesn't literally mean Kone in all regards, right, according to most Rishonim. Let's see, against that Rashi earlier. It's Kone Le'inyin, Hishtamshus. It's Kone Le'inyin, certain rights that he has. Doesn't mean a Kinyan Shebeguf. So Mistama says Rav Yashiv, that's what it must mean here. That the Havamina is that the Beis HaMikdash would have certain abilities to use it, but it wouldn't really have the status of Hekdash. Because then it would become Me'ila, and then how does it leave the status of Me'ila? What is Al Tanai? It's built in. We have that principle elsewhere. We have what's called Lev Bezdin Masne. That comes up a couple of places in Shas. That Lev Bezdin Masne, that it's only a certain amount if it's needed. Let's say you give more than that's needed to the Beis HaMikdash. Once there's enough, then the rest of it wasn't Kadosh in the first place. But that's different than this case where the Beis HaMikdash is mamish going to use this item, and then Mamela is going to be Paka, and the person is going to get it back. So, a little difficult. But Rabbi Yashiv says you have to say something along the lines that there is no specific Kinyan Shebegufo, and therefore it's just a Kinyan Ishtamshus, and then it would go back. So, that's the Havamina. So again, the Gemara says, so why don't we say it goes back, just like it goes back by a Baal Chov? So the Gemara says, Amar Kra, no. V'shachav b'sal maso uve racheko. When you give back the Mashkon, he will sleep in his pajamas, uve racheka, and he will give you a bracha. Yatza hekdash ain't sarach bracha. Excluding hekdash, hekdash doesn't need a bracha. The malve needs a bracha. When the lova gets back the Mashkon, he'll give the malve a bracha. But hekdash giving something back, hekdash does not need a bracha. Says the Gemara, no, velo, v'yoksiv, v'yachalta, v'savata, uveirachta, v'gomer. What do you mean? Hektish doesn't need, Hektish is Hashem, right, so to speak. Right, the Bible is of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, what do you mean? We give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, the only time it says that in all the Torah. V'yachal, the only bracha daraisa, v'yachal, v'savata, v'yachalta. So the Gemara says, okay, refine that answer. Ela amar kra, ulachat yet staka. Misha tzarech staka, yatza hektish she'ein tzarech staka. So you're right. Not that the hektish doesn't need a bracha. Hektish doesn't need staka. Some gift from us, and excluding hektish, only a Baal Chov would apply to, and not to hektish. Rabbeinu Bachai discusses here on that pasuk v'yachalta v'sod v'irachta. Well, Bachai, what does that mean? So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a bracha. It doesn't need staka. So what does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a bracha. And Bachai, what does that mean? What does it mean? So this is a defining Rabbeinu Bachai for our life. Rabbeinu Bachai writes, we mentioned this maybe in Parsha Shir, 5-6 years ago, I don't remember. If not, we'll mention it B'ez Hashem this summer. Says Rabbeinu Bachai in Parshas Ekev, V'lo timsa b'chol ha-Torah b'shum makom she-tziva kadosh baruch hu she-nevarech l'shmo ki-im ba-makom hazeh. This is the only place in the entire Torah where Hashem says, give me a bracha. V'yachalta v'savata v'irachta. So what exactly does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all perfect, and he doesn't need a bracha. He's not lacking anything. So what does that mean when we say a bracha? Umizeh. So that's the only time it says in the Torah. Umizeh Omar David, but based on that, David HaMelech writes in Tehillim Kuf Mem Hei, Va'avarcha Shemecha. Right? Ashrei. V'omar. Hodu lo Baruch Hu Shemo. V'rabim Kein. There are many psukim in Tehillim, but there's only one in the Torah. V'yalderech HaPshat. Says Rabbeinu Bachai. Rabbeinu Bachai always has Aderach HaPshad, Aderach HaEmes, all the different levels of interpretation. The Aderach HaPshad Omer Tchila. Ki Abrach HaZein HaTzorach Gavoa Elo Tzorach Hedyot. As we know, obviously, Abrach is not for him, but Abrach is for us. Meaning, Ki Kivan Shehu Yisbarach Makar HaBracha V'chol HaBrachos Hein Mishtal Shalos Mimenu. All Bracha comes from him. We're not giving anything to him. He's the only one with an independent existence, right? Everything else in the universe, every person, every item in the universe is dependent on him, like the Rambam talks about in the Hilchos Yisod HaTorah. Umitziuso taspik paatzmo lo yitztarech lezulato klal. V'yim kein im yivarcheyu kol hayom v'chol halayla ma yisrabe bekach. O ma yitznu lo, o ma miyadam tikach. Okay, same question by Karbanos. Right? Meaning, what are we doing with a bracha? Right? We say a bracha more than 100 times a day. What do the words mean? Baruch atah Hashem. Ask Rabbeinu Bachai. This is quoted in all the bracha svarim. The Hagdama, they all quote this Rabbeinu Bachai. So he says, Ein atah el svaribi ki yimei leinu. It's all about us.
Ki akala mevarech al mashenene hu meir al hahashkacha shehu yis'ale himsi mazon l'shvalim kidei sheyichyu. A bracha is an acknowledgement that he's the source of all bracha. That's what a bracha means. Baruch atah Hashem, you are the source of all bracha. When I'm about to eat an apple and I declare Baruch atah Hashem, I'm acknowledging the apple comes from God. I'm being mekadesh shem shamayim in every little area of my life. I'm not giving God anything. Chas v'shalom. I am acknowledging that the bracha that I am receiving now is from Him, and that itself is Kiddush Hashem. Ubischusa matvua v'aperos misbrachim umisrabim v'hanena v'inam varech. As the Gemara says in brachas, if I get benefit without making a bracha, gozel mimenu hahashkacha. If I don't make a bracha, it's as if I'm saying that the apples just came from nature, and the apples are just, the way that this world exists, and I am removing the hashkacha from this area of my life. And that's terrible. And that's what the Gemara calls that kfira and me'ila. And that's what... And that's what all this means. And then the Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar says, three lines later, V'yesh l'cha l'haskil, Maimar chazal, Bama metziah, Perakah makabel besofo, Binyin balchov. Quotes our Gemara, V'shachah b'salmazov, V'erachaka, Misha tzarek bracha, Tahainu hedyud, Yotza hektish, Sheino tzarek bracha, U'makshav gemara, V'haksiv, Yachadav esvod v'erachta, V'chuli, quotes our Gemara, B'yiruch hachamim, Ki a hektish tzarek bracha, Aval eino tzarek tzaka. So you see, the Gemara says, Hektish, Hashem needs a bracha. This is what it means. It needs a bracha. Doesn't really need it, but it's good for us. Our ascribing the bracha to Hashem is then a fulfillment of a Kiddush Hashem Barabim. And then he quotes one of the more well-known lines in the sugya, the Gemara in Maseches Brachas, where Amar lo Yishmael b'ni barcheni. Right, he quotes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Yisrael Kohen Gadol is in the Kodesh Kadashim, but the Shechina asked for a bracha, one of the more difficult Gemaras to understand the deeper meaning in all of Shas. That's the Gemara in Brachas and Av Zayin. But either way, this is a very important Rabbeinu Bachai in Parshas Ekev. The Sefer HaChinuch also expands upon this. If you want to look in the Mitzvah Taf Lamed of the Chinuch on the Mitzvah of Benching, where also he has a long discussion of the point of a bracha, and Kedarka Bakodesh, he says the bracha is about us. It's not about Hashem, like most mitzvahs, where he says, Acharei ha-pe'ulos, nimshachos ha-levavos, we become different people if we acknowledge that the source of bracha is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we recognize that through our declaration. Okay, we can spend a lot more on that, but we continue because a lot more is coming up. Ashkechei Rabba Bar Avua le'Eliyahu, Dekoy be'Beis HaKfaris, Shalov de'Kochavim. Rabba Bar Avua once found Eliyahu HaNavi, who was in a non-Jewish cemetery. Cemetery of Beis HaKfaris of Ovdei Kochavim. What exactly was he doing in a Beis HaKfaris of Ovdei Kochavim? Right, that's a Shaila. So there's various suggestions given by the Achronim. Chassam Sofer writes, well, we know the Gemara tells us in Maseches Tainis on Daf Tes Zayin, that's one of the dark drachim of tshuva. Right? Why they used to go to cemeteries on fast days. Right? Either, the Gemara says, to have the mason daven for us. That's an important line also in the Gemara, Daf Tes Zayin. But number two is for us to recognize that life isn't forever. And that message would apply to any cemetery, Jew or non-Jew. That's Chassam Sofer here. Others say, well, maybe he wanted to teach everybody the following halacha that the Gemara is going to get into. And the Maariv Chayis here, as the Maariv Chayis does in five other places in Shas, whenever Eliyahu HaNavi comes up and says something about halacha, he asks the kasha, how could we learn anything from Eliyahu HaNavi? Eliyahu HaNavi, lo b'shamayim, we had earlier in Nevuah. So how do we learn anything from Eliyahu HaNavi? So in every context, the Maariv Chayis has to explain what's unique about that specific context, that it's not a problem. So here, he's not really teaching us a halacha. He's being megale a makar. He's being megale a halacha. So maybe that's number one why it wouldn't be a problem in our context. Sham davka ka'amar lashon vayomer jemash ba'amirasa levat haspik la'achriya v'zeina mo'a letzleinu t'chal gadol letzleinu anavir shal l'chadish mashayinkin kan shol oso minayin demashmesh diyavi raya v'yidrosh. Here, suggests the Maariv Chayis, he's going to give a whole svara. So a svara, then I could use that svara and just think about that svara myself. And then I could decide. It's not based on Nevuah coming down. So that's a difference here. The other idea might be related to the Chassam Sofer that we could always mention when Eliyahu HaNavi comes up. Chelek Vav Simin Tzadi Ches, I think, or so, where the Chassam Sofer in the last volume, I think it's Tzadi Ches, yeah, Tzadi Ches, where the Chassam Sofer talks about the two ways that Eliyahu HaNavi comes down in this world. Sometimes Eliyahu HaNavi comes down just in his neshama, like to the Seder. He's not drinking the wine. He comes down to his neshama. By the Bris Milah, right? He comes to every Bris. What does that mean in his neshama? We don't see him, right? But we believe he's there. And we have a symbolic Kisei Shel Eliyahu. But other times throughout Shas, when we find stories of Amoraim talking to Eliyahu, we don't have to say it was a dream, right? The Chassam Sofer says, at various times Hashem sends him in his guf in order to come down to the world. And when he's in his guf and he comes out to the world, then he's considered humans. He's considered a person, and then he can teach us halacha. And then he could learn with us. And says the Chassam Sofer, that's what's going to happen. B'Yemos HaMashiach. He's going to come, and he's going to be alive, just like he never died. And he's going to be the Mavaser, and he's going to create Smicha again. Because he's a Sama from Achia HaShiloni, going back all the way to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then he's going to create Smicha again. So it depends how he comes. So if he comes in his guf, so then, there we can learn halacha from it. Ukushim is gala lofanzer. You can malach chavabi shalom etora umekala dinim ein lekvo halacha pidvarav. When he is in his neshama, achushim is gala belavush gufo. Harihu migdole chachmi yisrael v'tishbi etaritz kushis vabayus. They love tishmun kimi kamou moreb. Beautiful, right? That's the Psalm Sofer. Good. So Eliyahu HaNavi is in the Beis HaKfaris, and Rabba Bar Avu Asisim. So, Amarle, Maoshi Yisad Rav Bal Chov. Can I ask you, Akasha? I'm in the middle of learning Bar Mitzvah. You know, Daf Yomi needs to know this, the answer to this question. Are you Masadeh for a Bal Chov? So, Amarle, Gomar Micha Micha Me'archen. Yeah, Yathak Zira Shava that we add up above. Gabi Archen Ksiv Vimachu Me'archecha. Gabi Bal Chov Ksiv V'chiyamucha Chicha. So, we are Masadeh, right? Meaning, we pass in like that, opinion. That was question number one that he asked him. Also, just related, forgot to mention, the Achronim have fascinating discussions about Eishes Eliyahu. It starts with the Trumas Adeshin. Trumas Adeshin in Chelek Beis discusses, could the wife of Eliyahu HaNavi get married? Eishes Eliyahu, right? He went up in a chariot of fire. So could she get married? What's her status? Eishes Eliyahu. Oh, Eishes Rabbi Shua ben Levi, right? Ksubas Ayin Zayin, where he jumped into Gan Eden and he stole the knife of the Malach HaMavis. He gave the knife back, but he didn't come out. They didn't die. Im yicholim li nasi li ishacher, nafkamina ladoros, gamkein, im yizke echad kamohem. Lamai nafkamina. Okay, maybe somebody will be zochet to that. So, he discusses this, and he quotes the first line. Umeyahu uvda dekoy elio beis akvaris mash maksas li iser. That's all he says. Doesn't explain why. Why does it sound like Lisser? It sounds like he's alive here. Sounds like he could have a conversation and we could learn things from him, maybe based on the Chassam Sofer. So you think Lisser. Okay. But then he says, Yesh Lomar, Eishes Rei Ehu Asura Velo Eishes Malach. Shekulan Ruchani Velo Gufani. Eishes Rei Ehu is Asur to a person. That's considered a Maises Nus. But, you know, Eishes Malach, I don't think is Asur. That's the Shumat Adeshin. Who else talks about this? The Birka Yosef. Birka Yosef, the beginning of Simon Yud Zayin. Simon Yud Zayin and Eved Ezra is the long Simon relating to Eidus Isha and a husband not coming back, and you don't know. So there he talks about, a little more later, besides Eliyahu HaNavi. We all know the Gemara in Megillah Daf Zayin. Come Rabbi Shachti L'Reb Zera. Right? So when Reb Zera came back to life after his friend Shecht killed him at this Purim Suda, did he have to remarry his wife the next day? Right? What was the status? Right? Could he have married someone else? The age of Rabbi Zera, ki nishma baila v'meis vadi paki kedushe v'hutra lashuk v'chichay lamacher Rabbi Zera hayitzorach lekadesh l'ishto kedushin midashavi pnuya. Right, mustama. It's like machzer. It's machzer grushaso. Machzer almanaso. Right, doesn't come up too often, but he's a machzer almanaso in that case. So upanim chadashos ba'olakan. Do we say that, or do we say Odilma hada isha kona asma b'visa sabal dafka kasher meis v'nishar meis akishalon nikbar v'chay al pinavi ochasid igloy milsa dosa misa lo haisa misa kamos kol adam v'lo paki kedusha kamoi v'eishes ish v'lo tavas v'kedusha dinish da'alma. Right, and he wouldn't have to do new kedushin. So he talks about this back and forth, and then he talks about, you know, what if maybe it's a machlokas in the Yerushalmi, Lamaisa, you know, he talks about Mehera Yibana Beis HaMikdash by Tchias HaMesim. So what's going to be? Is everyone going to have to be remarry their wives? Right at that time, all the people who die, they're going to get remarried, and it gets a little sticky and tricky. What about there's somebody who was married to more than one person? Right? So then, what's the halacha? Elyon Navi will figure it out. We don't have to worry about these things right now. He has it all worked out. Okay, Viter. But either way, that might be different. The Tchias HaMesim type of coming back alive might be different than Rabbi Zera and Elio Navi. They might be different type, different category. But either way, that was the first question that was asked, Elio in the cemetery. Number two, Minayin La'arim Shel Yitrom. How do you know a person who's naked should not take off Truma? Tosas points out, the Iker problem is the Bracha here, not the Hafrasha itself. But you shouldn't do it because he's supposed to make the bracha, and he can't make a bracha when a person's naked. Tichsiv v'lo yira b'cha ervas dover. Right? The pasuk, you can't have an erva when you're making a bracha. Amar le, but here comes the conversation that spurs much discussion. Amar le lav kohen umar. Aren't you a kohen? What are you doing in the cemetery? Aren't you a kohen? What are you doing in the cemetery? There's a major machlokus in Chazal. Was Elio a kohen? This Gemara clearly says yes. Why? How do we know that? Rashi, fourth line. De'ika l'man de'amar Eliyahu Pinchas. De'chsiv be'i kano kinasi. On a deeper Gilgul Neshama level, some say Eliyahu is Pinchas, and therefore he was a Kohen. But if you look in Midrashim, there are various Midrashim that he was not a Kohen. Some say he was from Gad, some say he was from other Shvatim, right? So it's not 100% clear. Tosfos themselves, look at Tosfos towards the end of the skinny lines. Tosfos quotes Eliyahu Rabbah, Yesh Omrim Shoyemi Bnei Benaya Shel Leia. B'nei b'neha shel Leia, v'la'em enu elamizara shel Rachel, v'imkein lo haya kohen. Some other shvatim. He's called Gil'adi. Gil'adi is from Gilad, that's an Eber Yarden. Reuven, Gad, and Menashe. Right? So there's a machlokes, unclear exactly which shevet he was from, but our Gemara is for sure assuming that he was a kohen. So that's the Gemara asks, hey, what are you doing in the cemetery? Aren't you a kohen? Kohen can't be in a cemetery. Omar, my time of kohen, my Rebbe Sakvaris, Omar le, lo masi martaris. So, Eliyahu Navi says, didn't you learn Maseches Seder Taras? It's one of the six Sedarim, the Tanya. Doesn't it say in Taras, or Shurim Bayachai Omer, Kivrayan Shalom Dikachavim Einim Etainim Etamim? Non-Jewish Kfaris are not Metame. Shenemar Vatin, Sonit, Somarisi, Adam, Atem, Atem, Kriyim Adam, Venod Dikachavim Kriyim Adam, for this halacha. So therefore, there is, they're not Metame, so nothing to worry about. So, didn't you learn that? So Amar Lei, so the Amora, Rabba Baravua answers Eliyahu Navi. I'm sorry, I'm not an expert in that. Barbalo Matzina, Beshisa Matzina, also a crucial line. We're focusing on the four Sedarim that are Lamaisa. We can't focus on all six Sedarim. Which four Sedarim are Lamaisa? Moed, Nashim, Nezikin, Kachim. Zraim and Taris we don't focus on. Kachim is Lamaisa. Kachim wasn't Lamaisa. Rashi quotes the Gemara in the end of Megillah. Learning Kachim, learning anything is Kilu, we did it. But there's a special element about learning about Karbanis. And that's why we know. We have Talmud Bavli on Kachim. We don't have Talmud Bavli on Zraim and Taris. Talmud Bavli on all the Masechdas. Vachim, Menachas, Chulim, Becharis, Erech, and Tzmur, Kris, Mila, all of them. Right? They all have Talmud Bavli. Right? Because that was Ki'ilu, Rashi says. Ma'alen, Al-Kasav, Ki'ilu, Makriven, Osam, Mesa, Migdash. And therefore, we can't focus on all of them. Tosfos on the bottom points out, they obviously knew the Mishnayos of all Seder Taurus. We're talking about the great Amoraim here. So maybe every Diak of every Tosefta they weren't familiar with. Bottom Tosfos. It doesn't mean that they didn't know it. They knew it a lot. Halavai, our knowing should be like their not knowing. But at least it means they weren't as familiar, the Gemara is saying. Good. Omer le, va'amai omer le dechika le, va'amai, va'amai. So he says, why not? So he says, what's the, we'll finish a couple of horrors on the story, but let's just finish the story first. So why? You're not unable to focus on everything? I'm very poor. I have nothing. It's poverty. So Elio, what does he do? Davri v'ayla Gan Eden. He took him into Gan Eden. Amar le, Pashas Gan Eden is somewhere in Olam Hazeh. Again, another example of this. Amar le, pshok limech. Right? He says, take off your coat. Safi shkol mehani tarfi. Pick up some of these leaves. Some of these shining leaves, Safa Shakal, right? So he gathered some of these leaves that would be worth so much. Kavi Nafik, as he's leaving, Shama Dakamar, he hears a voice that says, Man Ka'achala Alme, Karaba Baravua, who is eating up some of his Olam Haba, like Rabba Baravua. realizes that he's taken some of his olam haba away. So nafatz, he says, he shakes out the leaves. Shadidu. He says, oh, he doesn't want them, right? Similar to that, remember the story in Chanina Mendoza in Tainis, Chavdal and Chavay with his wife, and they get the golden leg, and then they give it back. Similar. So he shakes it all out. He doesn't want to take it. What did Eliyahu Navi mean for him to take it? Some say that Eliyahu Navi was just like showing him, you have this for Olam Haba. Don't worry, I know it's difficult. But he was just showing him what's in store. Either way, Nafatz, Shadinu, he shook out all the leaves. Afilu hachi asi leglime. Still, there was something in his, he brought his coat. Sochan glima recha, his coat really had a beautiful smell, even though there were no actual leaves left. Zavne, betresha alfi dinri, he was still able to sell it for a tremendous amount. The Maris Chaya says he wanted to sell it because he didn't want to get any hana from Maisa Nisim. He wanted to sell it. Palginu lechas navasa. He sold it to all his sons-in-law. Even not to his sons, because that's Baruch Kara Tavua. So he sold it because he didn't want to get any hana from it. Period. Two other ha'aris. Again, we could spend the entire time on this story. But first, three small points. Tosfos. Tosfos in Omar. Tosfos much discussed by the Achronim. What was the question? You're a Kohen. What are you doing in the Beis HaKvaris? Okay, how about the following question? You're a Kohen. How did you do Tchias HaMesim on the dead boy? Right? You touched him and that was a Jew and he was dead. Right? So, in the story in Navi, ask Tosfos, Tema Lari. Hey, hechya b'nashal ha'amana, given shekohen ayah d'chsiv, v'yismodid al yeled. Great kasha. The Yishlomer answers Tosfos, shahaya barer lo sheyichayehu, l'kacha yematr mishim pikuach nefesh. Pikuach, he knew that he would be able to bring him back alive, so he had the heter of pikuach nefesh. Unbelievable line of Tosfos. But the Achronim pick up, Rav Yashiv here says, but what does he say? Since he was sure, so that's why he was able. What do you mean? Pikuach nefesh is even if it's 10%. Why do you have to be sure? What if there was a 5% chance that he could bring him back alive? Then he wasn't allowed to be mechalel his kedusha for him. So says Rabbi Yashiv, yeah. And this is what the Achronim say: when somebody has a cheskas chai, he's alive. Then he could be mechalel Shabbos and Averis in order to save him, even if it's only 5%. But if the person's already dead, you have to be pretty vaday sure that you could bring him back alive because there's no cheskas chayim there. And that's the pshat that the Achronim give of Tosfos. There are other answers given. Rabbeinu Peretz here quoted in the Tumah Kubetz says maybe he wasn't totally dead, and that's reflected by the fact that he was brought back alive. The Radvaz has a tshuva. Chelik Vav Shnei Alafim Reish Nun. He asked this kasha. Sha'alti Mimeni. Somebody asked him the question. L'man Damar Pinchas Eliyo Eich Nit Malachios Ben Atzarfis. Right. So how was he matami himself? So he quotes five different answers. He wasn't actually dead. Rabbeinu Bachai, he quotes, says that maybe she was not Jewish. And Akam is not matami, but oh well, the chulu, and he argues with that because according to many, the boy was Yonah ben Amitai. According to many, so that's why he was. He was a Yonah, and then he quotes Tosfos Shita, and then at the end he says, "Kasafti lechal kol mashiyeshet sli b'teretz kush yuzu v'yatotiv char." You choose what you think is right. Ulefi daiti chachmeha nistaros lo kasha klal. The Bali Kabbalah were not bothered by this question. Ki ha'omer Pinchas ze Eliyahu shoresh nishmaso shel Pinchas. Ukisha amru lo v'lav kohen hu mar lo ratza legalos hasod. What does that mean? The fact that the neshamas are connected doesn't mean you have to be from the Shem Shevet, from the Guf. So he talks about it. He says it's not so clear. But he didn't want to give him that answer. Okay, that's that discussion. The other halachic question on this sugya is, when the Gemara seems to say here that an Ovdei Kohavim are not Metame, what are we paskin? Three shitas in the Rishonim. What are we paskin about a non-Jew not being Metame? So the most makel opinion is the Yireim. The Yireim quoted by the Beis Yosef here in Yeridea, Shin, Ayin, Beis, quotes all three deyas. The Yireim is the most makel shita. He says, a non-Jew is not even Metame b'mago b'masa. Not even b'mago b'masa. It's a machlokas tanoim about this. But there's that's on the one hand. On the other side, you have the Rambam Shita. The Rambam says, that's the middle approach, an Akam is Batami B'maga B'masa, but not B'ohel. That's the middle Shita. And Bali Tosfos say they're even Matami B'ohel. Even Matami, what do you do about this Gemara? There was space. There were Psachim and Chalalim in between. And that's why they weren't Matame. But 3 days in the Rishonim. Bali Tosfos say, even Matame ba'ohel. The Yireim says, even not Matame ba'maga. And Meikar Adin, the Shulchan Aruch says, l'chadchila, to try to be machmir like Bali Tosfos. L'chadchila. B'di'evit, he says, Be'ikar Adin, we can pass on like the Rambam. That's the problem of Magam Masa, but not Ba'oa. But that is the Beis Yosef in Shinayin Beis, quotes all the days, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes this in Shinayin Beis Beis. Okay.
Kedusha.
Hmm?
Does that mean they also have Kedusha?
Kedusha, there's no Kedusha as Yisrael, there's Selam Elokim. And there could, according to Rov Rishonim, there's some type of Tumah. So a Tumah, but not. They can only become Tameh La'achar Misa. There's no Tumas Akum Mita Oraisa B'chaim. Right? Only La'achar Misa. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan Vim Ish Anihu. Back to Bamasiya. Tana Rabbanan Vim Ish Anihu Lo Tishka Ba'avoto. So it says, if he's an Ani, you cannot keep his mashkon. You have to give it back. Ha'ashir Shachiv. What if he's rich? You're allowed to keep it. But only if he's an Ani. So Mike Amar, what's going on here? And you're allowed to use it? Rashi adds in, isn't it an Isser of Ribbis? You're taking it and you're using it? So I'm Rav Sheshes Achi Kamar. No. You're never allowed to use it. V'im ish anihu lo tishkav. If he's an ani, you can't hold it. You have to give it back to him because he needs it. Va'avoto etzelcha. If you have his avot. Ha'ashir shachiv avoto etzelcha. If he's an ashir, you can keep it. Not that you can use it. Meaning there's no issue of ribbis. Tan rabbana namavas chaveiro ena rasha lamashkeno. There's a brisa. If somebody's mava their friend, gives a loan to their friend, they cannot take a mashkon. They no chayav lahachzer the one, you don't have to give it back. And you violate all of these isurim that we mentioned in the past couple of days. So, Mike Amar, what exactly, what is this price talking about? You can't take a mashkon and then you don't have to give it back. So, Amar Rav Sheshes Achi Kamar, if they add in a couple of words. Hamal, 2 days. 2 days had on this in this price. Rav Sheshes. Hamal, v'eschadeiro, ena rasha l'mashkono. If somebody is malva to their friend, ena rasha l'mashkono, you can't take a mashkon forcibly. Forcibly, as we said in yesterday's daf, v'mishkeno chayav l'achzerlo. And if you did, you have to give it back. V'over b'kol hashemus halalu aseifa. And the violation is aseifa, meaning if you don't give it back, then you violate all the isurim. That's Rav Sheshes. Rava Amar. Rava has a different shot of the brisa. Hachi ka Amar. Hamavas chaveiro ena rashay l'mashkeno. Somebody's malve, again, you're not allowed to take it forcibly. V'mishkeno chayav l'achzerlo. Bamed dvar mamurim. When do we say all this is true? V'mishkeno shelo b'shas halva'aso. If it's shelo b'shas halva'aso, Rashi, bebezdin. So that's where these rules apply, because you're taking it as a gvia. He didn't pay you back. Ava mishkeno b'shas halva'aso. But if that was part of the deal, part of the loan in the first place, b'shas halva, eino chayav l'hachzerlo, then you do not have to give it back because that's exactly what your agreement was. The over b'kol hashem was halalu, aresha. Goes back to the resha in the case of shelo b'shas halva. Periods, that's how you understand the brisa relating to some of the issues that came up yesterday. Tani Rav Shizvi kamei de Rava. Rav Shizvi said the following brisa in front of Rava. Adbo Hashemesh tishivenu lo zuksus laila. Before the sun comes, return it, zeksus laila. Hashev tashiv lo asa avot, kevo Hashemesh, zeksus yom. That sounds like the opposite. The night you get back by day, the day you get back by night. Amarle diyamama balalya lamali. Dilalya biyamama lamali. Is that the opposite? You have to get back his daytime items during the day, and his nighttime items during the night. So Rav Shizvi says, so should I delete that brisa? Should I take it out of circulation? No, you could just reinterpret it. Hachi ka'amar, this is how you should understand the brisa. Adbo Hashem is tishivenu lo zeksus yom, shenitna lachbo balayla. It just means that when you give back during the day, that you were allowed to take by night. So then you have to give it back if he needs it by day. Hashev tashiv lo es ha'avot kevo Hashemesh zeksus laila shenitna lachbo bayom. So you're allowed to take it by day, but you have to make sure it's given back to him when he needs it by night. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Again, a lot of major yesodos on today's daf. We spoke about Abracha. We spoke about Eliyahu Hanavi. We spoke about Kivrei Akum. We spoke about the Shas Mishnayos and the different Siddarim, the four Siddarim and the two Siddarim. Eishas Eliyahu, a lot of important sugyas that came up on today's daf. Again, today's shiur was sponsored. Firstly, Lenishmas Chana Bas Elio, Eliyahu Shalom, whose 25th yard site was on Shabbos, Tezayin Teves, by your son, Mr. Charles Mizels, and that's sponsorship will go for the next couple of days. And we also thank the Cook family for sponsoring Le'ilu Nishmas, Miss Beatrice Cook, Batya Bas Nachem Ber, sponsored and dedicated by Dr. Arthur and Linda Cook and family. We thank for the sponsorship. Okay, we'll stop here. Parsha Shir, that's Shemis tonight.